The greatest adventure on the planet Earth is not going as a tourist to the greatest places that have the biggest roller coasters. Now, that would be something that I would like to do, but what is the greatest adventure God has called us to? And of course, we all know that is to serve Jesus. That's a Sunday school answer. But the highest calling within the body of Christ is to be a missionary. Now, the highest calling for every Christian is to serve Christ by sharing the gospel with the lost. So we're going to hear that over and over again as we look at this example. Now, what would cause people to be so crazy to go and share the gospel all over this area here that we're going to see how Paul and Barnabas did? You see, the answer is Jesus. That is the Sunday school answer. Jesus. What would motivate somebody to go where you aren't always welcome and to share the gospel in the face of persecution? The answer is Jesus. What would spur someone on to continue on with obeying Christ for the gospel's sake? Jesus. And so today we've seen them go from all the way from Antioch in Syria to Cyprus, go throughout the island of Cyprus to Perga and to Antioch and Pisidia last week, and then today we're going to come into Iconium. Remember, last week they were kicked out, literally kicked out of Antioch and Pisidia. And so what we're looking at here is, are they gluttons for punishment for Christ's sake? Are they fools for Christ's sake? Are they willing to put up? Yes, yes, they are. So let's take a moment and remind ourselves of who Barnabas and Saul are a little bit. They are apostles. Now they're humans. Think about this. Humans, imperfect humans, who are following Jesus, following Yeshua. They would know him as Yeshua because they're Hebrew background people. And so they are apostles because they were sent out. And that's what apostle means. One who is sent. Sent one. One who is sent, similar to an envoy who is sent on a mission like ambassadors would be, to represent someone else, on behalf of someone else. They're sent out by the Holy Spirit through the local church. And we saw that in Acts chapter 13, 1 through 5. And it claims that the Holy Spirit set aside Barnabas and Saul for a work. And then they were sent out by the church, and then the next verse says, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went to Cyprus. You see? So, sent out by the Holy Spirit through the agency of the church, the body of Christ. And what kind of missionary work were they called to? They were called to pioneer cross-cultural church planting. Very different than just the normal non-apostle within the body of Christ. And understand this, all Christians are called to share the gospel. But not all are called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. There's a level of maturity that's involved with this calling, and it's chosen by God, and it is something in which God performs and confirms in their lives. But again, it's a level of maturity in various aspects of their lives. They have to be able to withstand pressures that normal Christians understand. I'm talking normal, born-again followers of Christ who are genuinely born again, alive in Christ, Christians, what they don't face, these apostles face. Because they are pioneering. They are going into areas where no man has gone before with the gospel. It's almost like Star Trek, where no man has gone before. Well, in this case, this was even better than that science fiction kind of fantasy. This is reality in history, in which they went to pierce the darkness with the gospel. So I want us to think about what's going on here. And they are called apostles in Acts chapter 14, verse 4, in one of the verses we're going to go over today. We're going to go over just the first seven verses. And so we're going to go through step by step, little bit by little bit, as we go through it and unpack it as we go. Okay? So hopefully you have your pen there and you have your notes. I remember when I was growing up in Christ, first saved in Christ, I looked around when I was sitting out there in the audience, so to speak, and the pastor was, even the most boring, you know, sermons that the pastor would have, I would never fall asleep. I was always attentive. You know why? Because I took notes. No matter what it was, I took notes. Had the Word of God opened up, you know, back then they didn't have the digital on your cell phone kind. They had the Bible, you know, in book form, paper, ink on paper. And so I was taking notes. I was focused. And I looked around and other people weren't doing that. They didn't even have the Bible open. They were like us. Or some of them slipped in a little thing here and they're listening to the sports thing. I mean, their mind is going somewhere else instead of what the Word of God is saying. And so what I would encourage you today to do is be like the Bereans in Acts 17:11. They searched out daily to make sure that these things are so. So even check up on me. Make sure what I'm doing is right. And that'll get you into the Word of God. Amen? So let's look at the very first verse. In Iconium, they entered the Jewish synagogue, as usual, and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks, or Jews and Gentiles, believed. Now, we went over that a little bit when it mentions the Greeks or the Gentiles there, meant those Gentile God-fearers, those who haven't converted fully to Judaism, but are sitting in the synagogue, probably in the back, and they are listening and learning, just like Cornelius in Caesarea. God-fearer. So a great number. They're in the synagogue. So we see this word as usual here, and it's highlighted here. Some of the translations don't have that, but the nuance in the Greek is there. What it means is, like they did in Antioch of Pisidia, it's kind of a, because remember, verses and chapters weren't in the Bible too much. So we didn't have any of that. It was continuous, like one big paragraph. So the next paragraph, they were kicked out. It says they're going to Iconium, and then it says in Iconium. So as it was in Antioch of Pisidia, so they did here in Iconium. They went to the Jewish synagogue. So we see that there was a continuous custom or manner or a strategy. They had a strategy worked out. Now this is, remember, God-inspired, God-empowered strategy, wisdom from God, of how to approach certain towns with the gospel. And God showed them supernaturally to be able to go through the synagogues. And of course, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 explains that. The gospel is going to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. We see that it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And so they would reach the Jews first, and then the Jews would reach the Gentiles. But who were Barnabas and Saul? But Jews. Jews, fully Jews. Barnabas, fully a Jew, but born in Cyprus. Paul, or Saul, fully a Jew, born in Tarsus. And you see Jews reaching Gentiles, but also reaching Jews. See, the Jews are not left out in the beginning, and they're still not left out. We want all people from all people groups to come to know Jesus. But they're using some sort of strategy. So as we develop ways of sharing the gospel in our culture, in the way we are with the way people are here, it's good to have some sort of way of doing things that seems to fit. And you can always adjust it. And we will see in the book of Acts how they adjust their approach to people. You have to be flexible. So it's like pencil in rubber or on rubber. And make sure you have an eraser. So you can do things until they don't work. You can go through open doors until they close. And we see that over and over again as we look at patterns. So developing a faithful, usual strategy for the gospel is a godly goal. It's good to have that. But not relying upon that strategy. Not relying upon it. And that can become an idol. Well, you know, we've always done it this way. You ever heard that? We've always done it this way, and we can never, you know, our great grandfather, he's the one that set up this methodology, this way of doing things. Look, sacred cows need to be sacrificed over at the burnt offering area at the altar, okay? They need to be sacrificed, not worshipped. Amen? So methodologies need to be set aside because they too can become a distraction. But they used a certain way of doing things until they could no longer do it. So let's look at these next few verses. It says, in Iconium, they entered the Jewish synagogue as usual and spoke in such a manner or way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks or Jews and Gentiles believed. But the unbelieving Jews, that is, there were some that were presented the gospel, some that were presented this whole message of the Messiah. And some of those Jews said no in the synagogue. And so what they do, they had a strategy too. Tools of Satan. They stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds, it says, against the brothers. Brothers mean those who are in the faith now. Brothers, those who are following Yeshua as Messiah. So, verse 3, I want to focus on this as well. So they, instead of running out of town because of this, they stayed a lot longer. They stayed a while. A long time, it says. Stayed there a long time and spoke boldly for the Lord, who testified to the message of his grace by enabling them to do signs and wonders. So they felt led. They were led by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at different patterns, if all you're thinking of is in the physical, then it would almost be logical, oh, well, they're going to start rejecting, so we better leave. But there was still an open door. There was still an open door there, so instead of leaving, they stayed on. And they stayed until they couldn't stay any longer. You see, God allowed them to do signs and wonders, and those signs and wonders were to confirm the word. And we see this pattern over and over and over again. As long as they're preaching the word of God and teaching the word of God, they are going to have God confirm his word. But we have to allow God to confirm his word. We have to expect it. And we have to pray for that. Remember in Acts 4 where they prayed, God, give us boldness. Give us boldness to preach and teach your word, to share the word out here while you extend your hand with healing, signs, wonders, and miracles to confirm your word. You see? So it's okay for us to be bold in the faith and allow God, seek God, expect God to confirm his word in however way he does what he does, in miraculous ways, in those folks who hear. Now again, not everyone is going to receive. We see that here. Not everybody's going to receive the word. So let's continue. I'm going to read the whole passage now. In Iconium, they entered the Jewish synagogue as usual and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they stayed a long time there and spoke boldly for the word of God, who testified to the message of his grace by enabling them to do signs and wonders. But the people of the city were divided. Some siding with the Jews and the other with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers. Remember I talked about that, how the strategy of Satan is to work through people to get government or the powers that be or something that's kind of like a government or whatever, so that the long arm of the government can be used to squash the gospel. Okay? And so we see that strategy again. Satan continues. So we should not be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. We should not be ignorant. We should see that and understand that. Now let's see how they approach this. When an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with the rulers to mistreat and stone them. So somehow they heard this word that came to them. And it's like, okay, how are they going to respond? They found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian towns of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding countryside. And there they continued preaching the gospel of Christ. So let's unpack this a little. Persecution again. So we see this again. Persecution. So when folks are out spreading the gospel, expect there to be opposition. Not everyone will receive. Over and over again, Jesus warned us about this. Matthew 10 is a good passage to go through, that whole chapter. And then you go into other parts, like the book of Acts, like we're looking at now. You see, Satan's not going to just sit idly by and just let people slip out of his hands. He's just not going to do that. Remember, where are they under his... They're under his control. Where are they? Behind those high walls and gates. Remember? The gates of Hades. Remember? The gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church. So they're stuck in their own private hell, so to speak. Or group hell, so to speak. Here on earth. Living hell. They don't know it. And they're making the best they can. Partying in there. You know, making party hats and living a life there. Trying to make it comfortable inside there. And some folks like it, and they're connected to Satan, the prison warden, and they're okay with it, and they're willing to defend those gates. Do you see? So opposition to the gospel is expected, and Satan uses to control people. Lies, deception, intimidation, and fear. Intimidation is a tactic that's like fear. Fear is our response to it, but he wants to foment the fear. That's the goal, to keep us fearful. And he also poisons their mind. Notice the term here is poisoned their minds. Notice that. What did Eve get in the garden? She got bit by the snake, by the viper. She was poisoned, like the poison of an asp or a viper. And that's the symbolism there. And then it's brought up here. Poisoned their minds against the brothers. Poisoned them. And what did Satan use? Did he use full, bald-faced lies? No. He used probably 90% of the truth and 10% lie, or 50-50 or something. There's a mixture there. He corrupts and twists. And so the folks who were not following God will continue to not follow God. And those who are open to God will be open to the gospel. Do you see how that works? And so we need to be praying for God to do what he would do to ripen a harvest for missionaries who are out there still today doing this. Many have their minds poisoned by false religions still today, of atheism, Hinduism, all the isms, and Islam, and anything you just think of that is anti-Christian. You see, why does Satan do this? To inoculate folks so that when the gospel comes, it is like water on a duck's back. It just flows off. It inoculates them to it. And so what we need to do is pray that God would mess up their lives and get the soil broken, because that hard soil, what happens? The seed just bounces off it. So the soil has to be broken up and plowed. And that's violence, it seems. And it seems like it's the worst thing that can happen to folks, but it is the best thing that can happen to folks. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. They need to be humbled. But in this case, they didn't have really a chance to really make them humble. So what was the response of that poisoning? They knew that that was going on. Paul and Barnabas knew there was a strategy and a tactic of what's going on by those who disbelieved. They were poisoning the minds of others. What was Paul and Barnabas' response? Well, their response was to teach the word of God. You see, when there is falsity, when there are lies, when there is heresy and false doctrine, the only counter to that is truth. Truth of the word of God being preached and taught. Because that will eventually, if it is pushed in, it will displace the false. When the seed of God's word, the truth, is planted in the heart, its purpose is to displace the false with Christ, with the very character of Christ. And I want to note that they only left when they were going to be physically harmed. And this is what we see in Matthew 10, 11 through 23. Where Jesus said, you know, you're going to go through all these towns, go into a town that receives you, your peace stays there. If they're worthy, peace stays there. But if there isn't, then dust the dust off your feet, shake the dust off your feet, and leave that town. The kingdom of God's come near you, but we're leaving. Just to let you know. And so Another passage in verse 23, actually, it says, when they persecute you in this town, flee to the next. So they're being obedient. They're being obedient. This is not cowardice. This is wisdom and obedience to Christ. You see, a door has shut here. Instead of trying to stay there and stay there and stay there, and this is on the personal level too, instead of staying there with some folks who shut the door, move on to other people. Don't get so distracted and so distraught because of those shut doors that you don't go toward the open doors. See, that's what Satan wants you to do. He wants to shut you down emotionally, shut you down somehow, because certain doors, maybe in family or friends, close people, have been shut. Well, that doesn't cause you, or shouldn't cause you, to just shut down and not move on. There are other open doors. Pray for God to lead you to the next open door. And so we see that's exactly what they did. They were like the ever-ready battery rabbit. They just kept going on. But the people of the city were divided, some siding with the Jews, others with the apostles, when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with the rulers to mistreat and stone them. They found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian towns of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding countryside. There they continued preaching the gospel of Christ. So they continued to be faithfully obedient, completely sold out to Christ. When they left Iconium, they continued onward to more open doors. They did not just shut down, lick their wounds, and feel sorry for themselves. Depression starts with feeling sorry for yourself. And then it goes from there onward. It can affect you physically. You lose faith, you lose hope, and then some people go all the way to suicide. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll see Moses almost got to that point. He was so distraught. He said, Lord, just take me home. Kill me now. Elijah, same thing. Kill me now. Why? Because they cared so much. They cared for people, but then they felt failure. They felt like God couldn't do it anymore. They lost hope. They felt sorry for themselves. And the downward spiral. And that's exactly where Satan wants to keep us. Satan wants us to be shut down because we don't understand how awesome God is through us. Now, I'm not talking about how awesome you are or we are, but how awesome God is through us as children of the King, royalty of the family, with the highest call and mission that God gave to any creature in the whole universe is the gospel spreading to make disciples, to persevere and never give up. You see, that's what we see in these apostles. Sure, they went through difficulty. And most people would go home. In fact, John Mark, I think he just wanted to go home. He felt lonely or missing his mama or something. But I don't think he could have really handled some of this. And we're going to look through the rest of this chapter, how to get stoned as a Christian. I mean, you know, a lot of folks like to get stoned, right? But this is different. We see this persecution, the heavy pressure of Satan. You see, Satan has a lot of territory all over the world. At this point in time, he has a lot of territory. Like the earth, the whole world is under his sway and lies. And the only place where that isn't is where the gospel has been planted since the resurrection of Christ, since the day of Pentecost. So from that point forward, God commands all men everywhere, everybody, to repent and to believe in Jesus. God commands all men everywhere. From that point forward, the second covenant or the new covenant in Christ is enacted from that point forward. So nowhere on the planet except where the gospel has been planted is there a light in the darkness. It's dark. And there is no truth. They're under lies and deceit and deception. And so as the progress of the gospel goes, do you think Satan's going to let up? It's like, oh, well, I guess I'm defeated. Well, he is defeated in one way, but in another way, he wasn't defeated. Understand that. Actionally, practically, he still held people under the delusion that they were under. And people don't like it. They don't like to be loose of that. They like what they're in. You got to understand. They love their sin. Jesus said that. They love the darkness. They don't want to come into the light. John chapter 3. So, to be able to pierce through that takes a person who is completely sold out for Jesus, and they don't care about what people think about themselves. They don't care about what other people think about them. All they care about is being obedient and faithfully obedient. Yes, they love the people they are ministering to. Yes, of course. But they love Jesus more. Because some of the folks they're going to be ministering to aren't very lovable. So it takes the tremendous power of God's love and the truth of God's love to be able to push them forward. I bet you there are many times they wanted to give up. We're going to read in Acts where Jesus had to personally come to Paul and say, don't give up in this town. Why would Jesus do that? Because he was ready to give up. He was ready to throw in the towel. And so I want to encourage you today, encourage us, encourage me. This message is for all of us that we need to continue on. Will persecution, the question to ask really is, will persecution, lies and deception, intimidation and fear, will that hinder us? What are the fears that hinder us from sharing the gospel with everyone, not just the people I feel like I should share with? Because did that, you see that with Barnabas and Saul? Oh, well, you know, I'm not going to do it. Share the gospel with that person. I'm just going to share with the people I feel led to. Well, you are led to share the gospel with everyone. We are led to share the gospel with every people, nation, tongue, and tribe. And so when there's somebody in front of you, are you sharing the gospel? I'm talking to myself too. I'm not perfect in this. But this is an encouragement to us. What keeps us from sharing the gospel? This is between you and the Holy Spirit. Let Him speak to you about that. Or, here's the encouragement. Or, will we be like Barnabas and Saul and push forward no matter what? Will we continue forward with the gospel? Will we be like Barnabas and Saul in pushing forward with the gospel? I leave that with you as we sing this last song.